Alvin, fish legs, hiccup and toothless, stood there, their mouths flopping open and shut like fish in their astonishment. The door had opened onto another gigantic cavern. This was filled to the brim with more treasure than you could possibly imagine in your wildest dreams, even were you as greedy as Alvin himself. So indescribably beautiful was this treasure that it drew them into the room like a magnet. It was all piled up on top of itself in crazy giant mountains, mound after mound of golden coins with Caesar stamped on one side and Neptune on the other. Heap after heap of rubies, fat and ripe as scallops, and emeralds green as a mermaid's eye. Gorgeous silver cups with seahorses galloping delicately around them, and golden necklaces as plump as oysters, and swords as sharp as a conger's tooth, with octopus tentacles winding themselves around the hilt. It was the sort of treasure you could get lost in, and forget yourself and your mind and this world at all. "Oh my," breathed Alvin the treacherous, stepping forward. "Oh my, my, my." And he reached out to grasp a cup, a glorious golden goblet, perfectly round in shape, with dolphins playing around the rim, so beautifully carved that it looked as if they were alive and leaping in a miniature golden sea. Toothless, Hiccup and Fishlegs recollected where they were, and slowly backed towards the open door while Alvin was so preoccupied. But Alvin caught a glimpse of them out of the corner of his eye, and he stretched out and shut the door with the point of the storm blade. "Nobody leaves the cavern without asking Alvin," he said. "Now, Alvin," said Hiccup nervously, "remember your promise. If I opened the door, you said you'd let us all live."
"Yes," said Alvin, considering the cup again, and then dropping it softly back on the pile. "The thing is, outcasts don't always keep promises to other people. I blame our upbringing. My mother never really loved me, you know, but I always keep promises I make to myself. And long ago, when that coffin lid snapped down and chopped off my hand, I made myself a very solemn promise indeed."
Alvin's pleasant eyes narrowed, and he sidled towards Hiccup like a predatory crab.
"It's not that I dislike you personally, Hiccup, but I swore to myself," said Alvin, still smiling, "that I would find Grimbeard's precious treasure, and I would kill his precious heir. That's fair, isn't it? An heir in exchange for a hand."
And he made a vicious swipe at Hiccup with a storm blade. Hiccup dodged out of the way in the nick of time. He leapt nimbly onto the nearest mound of treasure and started scrambling up it.
"And with Grimbeard's own precious sword, too," chuckled Alvin. "Isn't fate artistic?"
"Toothless," yelled Hiccup, "get me a sword."
Alvin climbed after him and made another wild lunge at his head. Hiccup ducked behind a large golden chariot wheel.
"Toothless," cried Hiccup, "hurry up."
"Okay, okay," muttered Toothless, who had flown to a pile of weaponry not far away. "Keep your helmet on. Toothless doing his best."
Toothless tried to pick up three of the swords, all of them as big and beautiful and flashy as the Stormblade itself, but they were all too heavy. So he turned to something smaller, an undistinguished but serviceable object, a bit rusty at the edges perhaps. He could lift it easily with both talons and flew with it to where Hiccup was climbing. He was a quarter of the way up a hill of treasure, hotly pursued by Alvin, who had little red lights dancing in his narrowed eyes and was swishing that storm blade like he was a human flail.